Today is Masechta Tamid, Daf Lamed Beis. Today's Daf, we learn about the mother of all segulos. We live in a society of obsession with segulos, always looking for some new idea to achieve wealth and fame and success. All different, just open up the paper. But the mother of all segulos is in today's daf. Today's daf is a Mishnah. You can't play around with this one. The Mishnah says, "Amar lohem chadoshim l'kitaris." Again, this is the Lamed Beis. It's the new Perek Chamishi. The second Mishnah says, "The Memuna, the one who is in charge, the Kohen that is in charge, the Skan, says to the Kohanim of that Mishmar, Chadoshim l'kitaris bohu v'hafisu." Anyone who has never in their life had the opportunity to offer the Ketores, come together. Anyone that in their life, a Kohen would come to the Beis Hamikdash practically twice a year. And he would be on call, on duty twice a year, 2 days a year. So there were 24 Mishmaros, and the Mishmaros would alternate. So that means once in 48 weeks would a Mishmar, when a family of Kohanim, a Mishmar would come to the Beis Hamikdash once in 24 weeks, and each one of these Mishmaros was divided into six groups.
24
Mishmaros, and each Mishmar was divided into six families, six Bote'af, and each day of the week one family would serve. So a Kohen would come and serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Approximately once would serve once in 24 weeks for one day. If you were a certain mishmar, let's say you're on the rotation, you're a mishmar number 13. So the year starts with week 1. So week 13 is your mishmar. You arrive in the Beis Hamikdash. You take up. There is a special guest house for the kohanim of that mishmar, and each of all of the kohanim divided into six groups. And let's say his base off serves on Tuesday. So he will serve on Tuesday of that week, and then he remains the entire week. Just because you only serve one day, it appears that you have to be on premises in the Beis Hamikdash the entire week. And I guess they would daven, they would learn, they would be prepped, they would review the halachas, they would do whatever they needed to do. Sometimes there was a shortage of kohanim and other mishmar, gesundheit, they would fill in. Whatever it was, I'm sure over the long history of Klal Yisrael, there were different periods of time where things were done differently, depending on the number of Kohanim and the situation. And then on Shabbos, everyone comes together. Shabbos was very busy, it was very crowded. Everyone comes together on Shabbos and they participate in the Avodah, however it was arranged, it was set up. So here we...
The Kabbalists were less on Shabbos.
Yes, of course, there are no private korbanos on Shabbos, but nevertheless, all the kohanim, even when it comes to a korban, there are only a few kohanim that actually participate in any given korban. So it just means that when they drew the lots, when there was a lottery made to select which kohen will have a chance of doing a specific part of an avodah, there is much more competition on Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're dealing with the entire mishmar. Not only that, Shabbos dealing with two mishmaros, because the incoming mishmar would take over in the afternoon. So it was really divided between the old Mishmar and the new Mishmar. But that's not a point of our topic. But the main point is we have over here, it's a new day. It's Tuesday of week 13. Mishmar 13 is on duty. It's Tuesday, so that Beis Av is on duty. And then they're now up to offering the Ketores in the morning. So the Memune, the Skan, Kohen Gadol, calls together all of the Kohanim and says, okay, only one Kohen can offer the Ketores in the morning. Pras b'shacharis sefras ben harbayim. Who is going to be the lucky Kohen that's going to have the opportunity to bring the Ketores on the Mizbeach Azov today? So let's say there are maybe a few hundred Kohanim. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm sure over history the numbers changed here and there. Let's make believe, for argument's sake, there are 500 Kohanim. So he says, okay, first we're going to disqualify any person standing here that in his lifetime already had the opportunity to offer the Ketores. Every 13 weeks you will come. So obviously some of you already had the experience of offering the Ketores. So anyone that had this experience, leave. So a whole group leaves. Who's left? Only those who never had this experience. And obviously they were well trained. This wasn't, you have to know exactly the halachas, how to do it. Obviously every single person here was qualified, has been trained and taught exactly what to do. They take a lottery, whoever wins the lottery is the one that is selected to offer the keteris. Okay, wonderful, no problem. And that's what it says, chadoshim l'keteris. Why does the Mishnah say that it was chadoshim? Because we have a tradition that it's a segula. This is again the mother of all segulos. Only one that I know, it's in the Mishnah, maybe that, but it's a Mishnah, because the Ketores is Masheres. It brings wealth. A Kohen that offered the Ketores was blessed with Ashirus. So if another Kohen already had the opportunity, either the school worked or didn't work. Just because they did the Ketores doesn't mean that Kohen merited. It's a skula. So give someone else a chance to merit Ashirus. Chadashim, only those that are new. Let me read you the Rashi, the Mefarish. And the Mefarish here is on the right side where Tosfos normally appears. As we all know, it's here on the left side as well. Yatsiv Nachon. Okay, I'm taking me too much time. Okay, but that's the halacha. Chadashim, only the ones who are new. Okay? It's mash. Now, where does it come from, by the way, this halacha? It's mash. It comes from Pasukim Zoyz HaBracha. Pasukim Zoyz HaBracha says, Yosimu Ketora V'Apecha V'Cholil Al Mizbechecha. We are referring to Sheva Levi. May he put the Ketores V'Apecha, meaning V'Apecha in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should enjoy the Reach Nichayach. Yasimu Ketora Biatecha, the Chalil, and the burnt offering Al Mizbechecha. And the next words are Borech Hashem Chelo. May Hashem bless his strength. And the Targum says, what does it mean? Strength? It means his Nechosim, his property. So the juxtaposition of Borech Hashem Chelo against Yosimu Kitora Ve'apecha, Chazal took this as a hint that the one that merits to offer the Ketores will be blessed with this bracha, Barech Hashem Chelo.
What about the second question?
I do not know. It's a very good point. So why don't we say that anyone who does Navoda, any Avoda, and Kol El Mizbecha, could be that Kol El Mizbecha refers to the Ketores as well. Let's assume that for right now. Yosimu Kitora Ve'apecha, the Cholil, the Ketores completely burnt. It's completely consumed al mizbechecha on the mizbech hazav, not the hide. The hide of the carbon oil is not completely, but it's still called the color. But let's assume now, for the sake of simplicity, that it refers also to the keteres yosimu keteri apecha v'cholil mizbechecha. The keteres, the 11 spices are ingredients are completely burnt. Al mizbechecha upon the mizbech hazav barech Hashem chelo. Fine, very nice. So this is halacha. Now, there is a fascinating Rambam. I don't have anything very, very short things I want to share with you today. So this is a short observation, but it's a fascinating insight. I saw this observation made in the Kol Torah Journal. It's a very chashuv journal. They have a lot of very interesting articles, and in the back they have little teeny ha'oros, Farshim for every single daf. They do like almost like 6 months at a couple of 4 months at a time, whatever it is. Every daf they have like five lines. It's like a vart, an observation, the idea. So I saw this there, and it made an impression on me. What it said in this journal, Kol Torah Journal, Shteltzu the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Tamidin Musafin, Perek Dalid Halacha Ches. And the Rambam discusses something general halacha. We know that there are the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel bein harbayim. Basically, whatever you do in the morning, you do in the afternoon. Okay, the time is a question at what point in time relative to the keteres and the menorah. But you do basically the same thing in the afternoon you do in the morning. In the morning, we learned in the Mishnayos here in Masechet Tamid, there's an elaborate procedure of the pious, the lottery. When every part of the carbon tamid, who does all the different parts of the tamid, were arranged to a lottery. Did they repeat the lottery process in the afternoon? It's the afternoon, we're about to begin the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Do we once again call all the Kohanim and tell them to draw lots? Everyone should put up their thumb, whatever it was, and we'll draw new lots for all of the different parts of the Talmud Shel Bein Ha'arba'im. The answer is no. We don't. Why not? The rule is whoever did this avodah in the morning gets to do it in the afternoon. It's double. You get double kefil for winning the lottery. Mega Millions. Double. Let's see what it says here in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Hapayis hipisu Tomit Shol, reading from Alochas, in the middle of Alochas. Tomit Shol ben Harboim. Ein mapisin lo payos acher. They do not conduct a new lottery. Ella, kol koyin shazocha be'avoda min ho'avodos shacharis, yizke ba bein ho'arboyin. If you win in the morning, automatically you get to do the same exact thing in the afternoon. Chutz is one exception. What's one exception? Min ha-ketores. The ketores is the only one for which they draw new lots in the afternoon. Shehei mafisin lo payis achar bein ho'arboyin. The avohu kol mi shloi hikter ketores me oilam. Because this is the mother of all segulos. Everyone wants a segula. Everyone wants a school of ashirus. So chadashim labakarim, just like the Mishnah here, it says chadashim, those who are new. So too, when it comes to the afternoon, give someone else a chance to be rich, to succeed in life, to have wealth. Memela, they drew new lots. Unbelievable how far the segula goes. Okay, we think that we're obsessed with segulos. They made a separate lottery. Higdir Kataris me oilam me ancha oisa mishmahol mishal higdir kataris me oilam me ancha oisa besaf viyafisu olecha. Now, by the way, the Gemara Masechta Yoma says it never happened me oilam that a Kohen did the Kataris twice. So, obviously, there were so many Kohanim who wanted the skula, it never happened where we had a situation where when the Kohen says, whoever ever did this once, leave, and everyone left. Never happened where everyone left the room where the pious was done. There was always at least one Kohen that did not have the opportunity. There was a newcomer, and he got to do, never. No one ever did it twice. I don't know the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol maybe was different, because he has a right to do the Avodah, Yom Kippurim, but talk about a Kohen head, it never happened, he did it twice. Okay. The Rambam therefore now discusses a theoretical case, because the Gemara says it never happened. So the Rambam is about to tell me now is theoretical, maybe he's referring to Yimos HaMashiach, I don't know. The im kivar hiktiru kulan mi mehen. Let's say it happened a situation where every single person in the room already offered the Ketores. Then mafisin la bekulan b'shachris b'payis hashlishi. Then, okay, then they do it again. Then if everyone already did it, so everyone back in, everyone gets a second chance. Everyone come back in the room. It was the coin says, leave. Whoever did it before, leave. Everyone leaves. So one left. Okay, everyone come back inside. We're going to do the lottery all over again. And in this situation, they don't do the pious a second time in the afternoon. It's amazing. So he gets to do it three times. This lucky coin. Most Kohanim only did this, many never did it. Some only did it once. But if you have a situation where it was never done, it's a fascinating thing to itself, where everyone already did the guitarist once, they draw lots, and the one that wins in the morning gets to do it twice. In the morning and in the afternoon. So this Kohen will have done the Ketores three times. Everyone else has only done it once, or has done it zero. And this one will get to do it three times. So in this Sefer called Torah, he asked a very simple question. It's a skula. It's a wonderful skula. We see the intensity of the skula by letting the Kohanim do, by making a pious in the afternoon, something that we don't do for any other part of the Avodah. So why not in a situation? Why not do it? Well, here's really two questions. Why don't we say okay? Two different steps. Why in the morning? Everyone already has done the Ketores once. Okay, let's now go to the next step. Who did the Ketores twice? Leave. give someone else an opportunity to do the Ketores a second time. And also in the afternoon, we should make a new pious so that we should be fair. We should have a new round. Someone should be able to do the Ketores twice instead of having one person do the Ketores three times and everyone else only did it one time. It would be fair to let two Kohanim to bring the Ketores twice rather than have one Kohen do the Ketores three times. It's not fair. If you already won the lottery, let someone else win the lottery. Well, you won $1 million. Give someone else a chance. Why are you hogging it all for yourself? What's going on? So from this, Medayik, an incredible idea, a terrible yisod. When it comes to skula, there's no advantage of doing a skula more than once. A skula is not a mitzvah. When it comes to a mitzvah, put on tefillin. Every day, put on tefillin. Nachama. Matzah. I ate matzah last year. I have to eat matzah again this year. I dive in yes of that. When it comes to a mitzvah, nochamo, do it again, do it again, do it again. Every time there's another mitzvah, there's an intensity, there's a more of an appreciation. You grow with the mitzvahs. When it comes to schoolers, you put the red band around your hand, you wear it one day, you're finished. You never have to do it again. You're finished. And you learn this from the mother of all segulos. There's no greater skula than the Ketores. It's the Mishnah. Ashiros, yasim k'ravepech, v'lo mizvecha, b'rech Hashem chelo. You did it once. There's no milo doing it a second time, over doing it three times. So if everyone did it, so we'll start all over again. We'll take a pious. Whoever wins, wins. We're not going to throw everyone out of the room, whoever did it twice, three times. Everyone is the same. You did it 10 times. You did it one time. You're all the same. Everyone did it once. You did it once. You already maximized the koyach. Okay. You maximized the koyach of the skula. There's no additional hiddur. And it's just like all the other parts of the avoda. The Tamid Shel Shachar, you get one in the morning, you do it in the afternoon. This is an incredible idea. Yeah?
So why would everybody compete for the second time? If I know,
yeah,
for the second time, it can't go.
It's a mitzvah, not the skula.
You said it's a mitzvah. You did it, you got the skula.
The Ketores, they're tzedim in the Ketores.
It's like a lifetime thing.
There are two dinim, there's a din of a mitzvah to offer the Ketores, and then there's the skula aspect of the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself.
So it's a mitzvah.
No, but the mitzvah itself is no different than the mitzvah for all the other parts of the karban. The other karban, we don't go crazy. When it comes to the shechita, the kabbalah, the halacha, and the zrika of the karban, are we obsessed doing it, giving everyone an equal share? No. As a mitzvah, there are different types of mitzvahs. There are personal mitzvahs, then there are mitzvahs for the community. There are rules of mitzvahs. We put the Ketores back in the same category of the other mitzvahs of Korbanos, of the Talmud, where the one who wins in the morning wins in the afternoon, and that's it. When you're dealing with the skula element of the mitzvah, chadash labakar, once you've done it once, that's it, you're all finished. Now, lemay nafkamina, sandikos. What is the sandikos? So this itself is not so simple, but there is a tradition that a person should not be a sandik more than once. I mean, if a family, if you mechal, right, so it's not an exact match. If you mechabit a certain person in the family, person has the bechor, and mechabit so and so to be the sandik, now he has a second child, he should give the sandikos to someone else. Why? Because sandikos is a skula for ashirus. Why is this school? So it comes from Yalkut Shemani. The Yalkut Shemani says that when Avraham Avinu was Mal Anshe Beso, Yilid Beso, he took the Orlos of all of his servants and all of his the Gerim which joined him, and he threw it up to Shemayim, and the sun shined down on the Orlos, and it produced a Reach. It produced a smell, a fragrance. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kosh Baruch Hu absorbed, or Kav Yochel Hashem enjoyed the fragrance that the Orlos produced against the rays of the sun. It was like the Ketores. So this Yalkut Shemoni equates Orla, especially the Orla, this that Avraham was mal his Anshe Beso, to a Reach Nichoyach. And from that we learn it's like the Ketores. And the Sandik, the one that's the Sandik, is serving as the Mizbeach Chazav, that's what it says in Chazal, and he is as if he's offering the Ketores, he's even greater than the Moel.
Why not the Moel? The Moel Mo is the one who's actually
is doing the bris milah. So they speak about this. They speak about this. They say it's because the sandik. What's the ain of a sandik? Ain of a sandik is you put the child between your knees. Between your knees is a euphemism that the child is really being put. The head of the child is really being put opposite the sandik's mila. Understand? It's a euphemism that the child rests on the knees of a sandik. That means the child is being put in the location of someone else's bris mila. So you're being ma'ariv, you're bringing together the mila of an older generation with the mila of a new generation. That is more significant than the one who does that ma'isa yad, the one who's actually doing the bris mila, because that's just he's doing an act. But here, the two are being joined together. Okay, there's Torah on this. There are many who don't hold from this. Not the whole of this, but they're not so hot about this whole idea of giving the sandukos the prohibition or the inyan not to give the sandukos to a person more than once. There's a famous one of the famous achronim. He writes, "I never saw someone get rich from sandukos. I never saw my whole life." There's a very famous one from the Stipler. The Stipler was given sandukos cannot every single day. I guess Besof Yamav.
No, different
family.
Maybe not always okay. Different families.
So what's the difference? Different family. Should even be from the same family. Well, if we compare to the Ketores, shouldn't make a difference. Anyone that was never a sandik should have the merit to be a sandik. So there's more to it, obviously. You don't want to just give a sandik.
The minute somehow or is only for
the family, correct? The family. But if we're really comparing it to the Ketores, it should not make a difference. One family, not a family. Everybody should make an announcement in shul. Who in this shul was not a sandik? Was never a sandik? Come forward, right? Wouldn't that be fair? Everyone should have a chance to fill shoes. So obviously, that's not the only inyan. Obviously, you want to give a sandik to an adam chosh. They say this brought down that the person who's a sandik has a lot of influence in the spiritual sense on the child. I once heard from someone that he made an observation that certain two brothers, one had this sandik. And it's nonsense what I'm saying, but just the gist. There were two different types of people who were a sandik for this for two brothers. And one brother turned out like this, and one brother turned out not good, both good, but different. They both turned out different hashkafas, each great in their own way. And it was the person's observation was very interesting, is that the first sandik very much fits in line with the first brother, and the second sandik very much fits in line with the second brother. So there is something to it that a sandik has a hashpa upon the person. So you don't want to give it to any Tom, Dick, and Harry here. So there's obviously more to it. Okay, it's not. But this inyan of being the same as the stipe. He was a sandik almost every single day. So they asked the stipe was not a rich man. Okay, he was not a. So they asked him, so no, you're a sandik every day. So he said, Ashiris is relative. He was the Machar of the Kehilas Yaakov, and the Kehilas Yaakov is accepted in the entire class, so one of the most beautiful Lamdish Sfarim on the Talmud. That's my Ashiris. Many people write Sfarim, they're not mine. They write Sfarim. And we are the Sfarim, out of print, no one even heard of the Sfarim. His Sfarim are found in every single Beis Medrash. There's no greater Ashiris than this. So he was blessed with Ashiris. It's all relative. What you consider oishar v'oishar with an ayin with an aleph. What you consider to be ashiris. But this is a fascinating idea that when you do a school once, you're a sandik once. Either it worked or it didn't work. Being a sandik a second time is not going to enhance the skula. It's a very interesting thing to draw the difference between mitzvos, skulos, mitzvah. Again and again. Skulos, you maximize. You're really maxed out after you do it once. Diminishing returns to be obsessed with skulos over. Now, of course, there are certain skulos where the whole school is to do it for 40 days. Okay, but once you do the 40 days, you're finished. It either worked or it didn't work. There's no purpose of doing the 40 days over again. It's not like Moshe went up for three times in 40 days. You did it once. It's already whatever. This is an interesting idea. But I also want to take this idea and point out something interesting, another way around. For example, someone once told this to me. Someone said to me, "Do you wear a Beirut Tam tefillin?" So I said, "No, I don't wear a Beirut Tam tefillin. I'm not from that camp. I wasn't brought up with a Beirut Tam tefillin." So he said to me, "Good, fine, no problem. But let me tell you something. Don't forget, once in your life, put on a Beirut Tam tefillin. You sh- you don't wear a beirut tamah. Halachah doesn't wear a beirut tamah. Even people wear a beirut tamah. That's not an ikur. But there's something to wearing a beirut tamah. Obviously, if a significant segment of Klal Yisrael wear a beirut tamah, there's an inyan. I'm not from that camp. But once in your life, you should have the experience of putting on a Beinu Tam Tefillin. You should remember it, it will be with you. And then he told me, the person said to me, when I go to Shemayim, I hope I should be Zocha to see a Beinu Tam. And I want to say, I don't want a Beinu Tam to say to me, why didn't you put on my Tefillin at least once? At least once, Karkaf D'loy Monach Tefillin. There's something in life to doing something in Halacha. Okay, we talk about Segulas. But there's in Yonim of Halacha, it's not Yominuk. Okay, it's not Yeminuk, but it's Kedai once. It's Kedai to experience, go, ah, Chassidish Atish. I'm not a Chassid. It's Kedai to, what is a, have an appreciation of someone else's Hashkafa. By Chassidim, Atish means a lot. There's something to it. There's a Rebbe, what it means, what he does. You learn about it. Read the Svarb. Okay, if you're not a chassid,
you mezuzah one time in your life. So
no,
when you throw a Beinu Tam, you could say, "Why didn't you put the mezuzah up like
what?" you have to know where to draw the line. That's already except in halacha, everyone does it in a certain way.
You said, but tefillin too. It's a
no, but tefillin. It's a matter of putting on a different pair of tefillin. The mezuzah, everyone puts the mezuzah one way. It's not a matter of different minhagim. This is one way universal.
There's a very fine line between.
Oh, that's right. So you gotta know where to draw the balance. You gotta know where to draw the balance. You're right.
Enough if we followed every detail of the halacha the way we're supposed.
That's not a kasha. You do everything you're supposed to do in halacha, but you also do other things as well. That's not a kasha. You follow halacha. You couldn't say since I never was medactic in saying in putting on tefillin and being maharer and machshavas kedosh or holy thoughts. So I'm not going to do it. It's right. 90% of the time, you have to focus on doing the right thing. But once in a while, it's good to experience others. Like someone said to me, someone's told this. I don't know how far it goes. There's a shita. Okay, I'm a lefty, so I put it on my right arm. So someone told me, I never knew this. This shalika halacha, 100%. I mean, I don't know. There's a shalika halacha. I take that back. I don't know the parameters. They have to be ma'ayin. He said this. He gave a shiur until and he was ma'ayin. There's a shita that says even a lefty. Even a lefty should put his tefillin on his left hand. Yes. Because yadicha is yadicha shel kol adam. Now he claims that there is such an opinion, and there were people that did this. They did this lalacha. Now, what?
I do.
Every single day?
It's the only thing I do with my left hand, and I have been told, that this is the shita of the gra, of handedness as opposed to Trump's
Siva. No, but you do some things with your left hand than your right.
Only writing.
But everything else you do with
writing.
Writing. So that's a difference. That's a different story altogether. That's already a very common situation. You write with one hand, you do everything else with the other hand. Right. That's very complicated. That's a complex issue. There are different opinions. There are Moshe with the good. I'm talking about a situation where a person does every single thing with his left hand. That's not your situation.
Okay.
Every single thing. A person does every single thing with his left hand. Which hand does he put tefillin on? La lacha, he puts tefillin on his right hand. Because the right hand is yadcha, is your weaker hand. I do everything with my left hand. His situation is where he does everything with, what's your situation? You do everything with your
right hand.
And he writes with his left hand. So how do you draw the balance? You do everything with your right hand, and you write with your left hand. What is maybe writing is the ikar? It's a very common question, and there are different opinions. I'm discussing a case where you do every write and eat and do all of your labor with your left hand. Which hand do you put tefillin on? Your right hand. That appears to be halacha lemaisa, 99% accepted. Someone told me there's a shita. That's what I do. I do everything with my everything with my left hand. Someone told me there's a shita that even though if you do everything with your left hand, you still put tefillin on your right hand, on your left hand. Why? Yadcha, you go bossa the left, the weaker hand of the world. And since the whole world, it's the left hand, that's the way it is in halacha. And there are other examples in halacha where we follow such a rule. So tefillin as well. Is this accepted in halacha among... No, it's not accepted in halacha. Is there such an opinion? This person told me, yes, there is. And he claims that there are yechidim that have a tradition, whatever it was, they do this, it's mamash, one in a million. But there is such a thing. So we discussed, we said to me, so therefore, based upon this yesod of Rabbeinu Tam, that you should put on once in your life, once in your life, after davening is over, you should take your tefillin and put it on. He told me I should take my tefillin once in my life. I should put it. Of course, I put on tefillin the regular way. I do it right. When davening is over, put the tefillin on my left hand, upside down, of course, so that you should be in the right place. But so that you should, without a bracha, of course, so you should be mekayim the halacha lufi this one opinion. Since there is such a legitimate opinion, it is accepted the halacha, it is such a thing. It's not a contradiction. You can't put up two mezuzahs. You can't put up one mezuzah on an angle and one mezuzah straight. But it's not a contradiction. You should experience it at least once in your life. I don't know if that's really such a great example. Because if something is rejected to such a degree where you never even heard of it, maybe that's already to an extreme. But it's just something to take out of this daf, of this Rambam, this idea both ways. A segula, you do it once, you maxed out. There's no advantage doing it a second time. But you also can extract from that there's also an inyan of doing it once. You don't have to. The things and opportunities present themselves. Take advantage. It's not your hanhaga, but there's always something to it. Okay.